This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team coach, Peter Caliendo.
Welcome to Baseball Outside the Box, educational podcast for coaches, players, and parents from all over the world, where we bring you the most innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds who love to challenge the status quo. Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. We are doing the show from the Lineup Media Group Studios. We're thrilled to have you on the show today. As always, something exciting, things to learn about. Great coaches on the show, so we're going to get started. But before we do, just want to remind you, don't forget to go to our website, Baseball Outside the Box, and subscribe to the show. Go to iTunes or Stitcher. You'll see the logo there. Click the logo if you get a chance also and you love the show. Please give us a 5-star rating and review. That really helps keep the show going. Also, on lineupmediagroup.com, you can check out all kinds of shows like Youth Baseball Talk by Jim Cromer, who does a great job discussing the issues of youth baseball, along with Chasing Pucks with Penger. That's all about the NHL. You got Bleacher Bums and many other shows. A special thank you to the Media Lineup Group, and you can go to, again, lineupmediagroup.com. I love getting your questions. Please continue to send those. Send them to my email at info@baseballoutsidethebox.com. Could be about anything we talked about, anything in the game of baseball. Anytime we don't have the answer, we will go out and search for it. And we look forward to being to helping you in any way we can. Don't forget to join us on all the social media. We're everywhere. We're on Twitter at Baseball Out. We're also on Facebook and all the other social media. So check us out. Send us to all your friends. We'd love more people to know about the show. And also let us know if there's any guests that you ever like to hear on one of the shows. Don't forget my 5-set DVD drills, over 100 games and drills and skills, instructional DVDs for baseball coaches, is online, baseballoutsidethebox.com. They make a great Christmas gift. And now let's get started with the show. This is a unique show because recently I had the great pleasure to attend my second annual World Baseball Children's Baseball Fair, where the top instructor and top representative of the World Children's Baseball Fair is the legendary Sada Araho, the home run king. From what I understand, is the world home run king, and just a great individual. He's so respected all over the world, not only for what he's accomplished in the game, but also for the type of individual. Everybody, every time we've been with him, he's been first class, always been with us. Had a chance to grab an interview with him during the camp. We had a quick interview, but, we worked together during that whole time, and it was great. So hopefully you'll get something from that interview. But also, on behalf of the World Baseball Softball Confederation, we have some of the top baseball instructors from around the world, and we're able to interview a few of those instructors. So I think you're going to get a lot out of the show because we got instructors from the U.S., we've got instructors from Australia, Canada, Sada Araho, and I think you'll see it's a unique show, and it gives you an inside look into not only the World Children's Baseball Fair, but what the instructors are teaching at that time during the camp. And just to give you a quick briefing of what the camp is all about. There's about a couple hundred kids from all over the world that come to Japan, hosted by Japan and the World Children's Baseball Fair. And it's all about, instructional camps for the kids so they can improve in the games of baseball, their skills, but also the ability to meet kids from around the world, to see the beautiful culture of Japan. It's an exciting thing for young kids. Most of them are 13 and under. And they come from, again, about 20 countries. They've got chaperones with them. And the Japanese just do an outstanding job in hosting everybody. It's a real exciting event. So we're looking forward to starting a show. So sit back and listen. You are listening to Baseball Outside the Box from Japan at the World Children's Baseball Fair.
Well, it's Baseball Outside the Box, and we are here with the legendary Sada Araho, who is the home run champion of all times around the world. He's not only that, but he's a great man. He is the chairman and the spokesman for the World Children's Baseball Fair here in Toyama, Japan. It is a great honor. I can't tell you how much of an honor it is to have Mr. O on the show. Couple things, and first of all, we'd just like to ask him, you know, he's had such a great career, and I just wanted to know, what does he think made him the player that he was and the person that he is today?
今まで、こんな素晴らしいキャリアを持たれていて、そして今のその、ご自分があられることで、どういうことを思い続けて、何が自分をここまでのプレイヤーにしたのかって思われますか？まあ、僕は、他のことは案外飽きっぽいんだけど、野球だけはまず、不思議なぐらい、自分でも不思議なぐらい飽きないんですよね。今でもね。はい。まず。
So he has always tried many things, but the passion didn't last long. But baseball was a different thing. So he always loved baseball, no matter what.
And I noticed he did. He practiced a lot before and after games, baseball. Even in the major leagues in Japan, he practiced a lot after games. Why?
試合の前もそうなんですが、試合後。
もうプロになってからでも、プロの間でもずっと必ず試合の後も練習をされてきましたが、それは一体なぜでしょうか？結局試合後の方がね、筋肉が褒めてるわけですよ。試合をやって。だから、その時に筋肉にスピード感とか動きをね、覚え込ませるためには、試合の前よりも試合の後の方が身につくんですよ。
Every time after the game, his muscle is not as hard as before the game. So after the game is a perfect timing for him to put all the skills and all the new moves, the speed into his muscle to memorize.
Wow.
That's
incredible. And he also had a mentor, a trainer for a long time. How important was he to his career?
そして、ずっとコーチの方、同じ方がついてらっしゃるかと思うんですが、荒川さんは、その、お子さんに対して、ご自分にとってどういう人なんでしょうか？そうですね。まあ、僕も、高校時代から、自分なりに、自分のバッティングに、自信を持ってやってきましたけど、それだけの結果も出したけど、やっぱり荒川さんに教わってから、 レベルの前段、もう何段も上のね、ところへ、ヘッドスピードとか、バットの出る角度とかね、ヘッドの、なんていうの、いわゆるキープするかということを、やっぱりプロ的な、やっぱり厳しさでね、鍛えられて、で、それができるようになって、成績も上がりましたね。So,
Mr. Arakawa, before he was taking lessons and coaching from him, he was still proud to be a batter. He knew what he was doing. But when he was coached by Mr. Arakawa, his skill has improved tremendously. And then he was able to leave so many records afterwards. And he taught me even the angle, how to swing bats and the speed and everything. He gave him all the things he needed to do, like become who he is now.
Please tell Mr. O, thank you very much. He's a great inspiration to all the WCBF coaches. Thank you, and domo arigato gozaimasu.
Thank you.
As we finish with Sadahara Ho, the home run champion from around the world, we are at the World Children's Baseball Fair, and we are having a great time. The camp is over, and we just interviewed Mr. O, and now we're going to talk to Angel Bonilla, who's been at the WCBF for over 26 years. He's the head coach, head instructor for the WCBF, and I just wanted to talk to Angel a little bit about, first of all, in all the 26 years, what he thought about the events, you know, how well it's gone and how well he's done, you know, overall. What do you think about the event?
I think it's one of those things where we bring children from around the world to one spot, usually more often than not in Japan, and it's a way of building goodwill throughout the world. The children get to know one another, and hopefully we encourage them to remain in contact over the years.
Awesome. And you know, the thing is, I've been here twice. This is my second time. It's a great event. You know, the basis of the event, obviously there's a cultural part to it, but the baseball part, you know, you're in charge of overseeing the baseball part of it, the development or the instructional aspect. The kids get to rotate different stations. They're learning. They're going to play games. That we got, obviously, great instructors at every station, instructors from the World Baseball Softball Confederation who have a station and work on drills there. What's your main responsibility? As you walk around and see all the different stations, what's your main focus?
Well, Pete, my main focus is making sure that all the different stations are functioning very quick, first of all, because we have limited time, but also that whatever is being taught at each station is conveyed in a way that the children can understand real quick, because we don't have that much time to really between one topic and the other. It's usually limited to about 25 minutes, but by the time we get done, it's really more like 20 minutes at each station.
And what's the main focus? Are they focused on hitting, on fielding, throwing? Are there emphasis? We're trying to at least give these kids a basis to take back home and maybe get better as players, and also, you know, give information, because there's chaperones and coaches also on with each station from that country.
That's right. Basically, is introducing, some of the children are being introduced to the game for the first time. So for those, it will be mostly the basics. For the ones that are more advanced from, let's say, countries where baseball is played, it's just a way of getting them to do things the correct way. And we stress that the children are, how would I put it, engaged throughout.
And I saw something interesting. You mix up the groups, too, because there's teams in groups. So there might be Japan might be with Indonesia. Or and those kids get a chance to kind of play together and practice together in those stations.
Well, the reason for that is because we want to build goodwill through baseball. And what better way than to mix the kids and have them experience the same thing and have, let's say, kids that are more advanced help the children themselves. You know, like whenever they see somebody doing something that's not right, a lot of time you'd be surprised. A lot of the kids would kind of like try to show them, you know, those that know would try to show the other kids, you know, how it's done. And it's such a wonderful feeling to see that, you know, like especially between kids.
And that's a great experience for the kids because they're learning from each other. I mean, if you're working out with a Japanese kid, you're going to pick up a lot of things those Japanese kids are doing, or the Koreans, or anybody else.
That is right, because a lot of the time, you'd be surprised. Most of the time, the kids from Japan are so well, you know, so advanced and well trained that a lot of time, even they can just go ahead and point out stuff to those kids that haven't been exposed to the game before.
That's great. Well, Mr. Bonilla, thank you very much for the interview. We're going to be interviewing the other WCBF coaches, and then we'll be right back. But again, Angel, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Pete, for the opportunity, and hope to see you again next year's World Children Baseball Fair.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us on the, again, Baseball Outside the Box. But we'll be back with a couple other coaches on staff here and talk to them about their stations and their drills, and particularly what they're working on at every station instructional-wise, so we can spread that word around the world on the show. We are in Toriyama, Japan, with the World Children's Baseball Fair. It's an event that's been going on for a long time. We are going to interview the founder of the World Children's Baseball Fair, Dr. Akiko Agishi. She, along with Hank Aaron and also Sadahara Oh, put the program together. She was able to get both of them when they first started the event, and we're thrilled to have her on the show today. We have just finished the World Children's Baseball Fair. It's been a great event, and Dr. Akiko Agishi, it's been a pleasure working the camp, and thank you for being also on the show.
How do I do? You hold? Yeah, okay. Hello, this is Akiko Agishi, originally from Sapporo, Japan. And I was a Fulbright scholar, went to USA and attended at UCLA and got my doctoral degree in education and evaluation of special program for higher education. And anyway, baseball is one of very special sports from my childhood, and I was a big fan of Mr. Oh and another Mr. Japan, Mr. Nagashima, and two gentlemen, our all Japan's hero, and we call them all Mr. Japan. For two of them are really leading our country. But of course, Mr. Oh is very, very special because he is our home run king in Japan. And we've been working together for not only baseball, for other educational program and also entertainment area. And one time we got together for Mr. Oh about something to do with youth in the world. And that time, Mr. Oh was just retired from regular, you know, Japanese professional baseball. And also, Mr. Hank Aaron, he was also retired, and he was also one of the guests for another non-profit organization in Japan with Mr. Nagashima, another Mr. Japan. And I asked Mr. Oh and Mr. Aaron, when we have lunch time, let's, you know, we had wonderful time with non-professional and non-profit organization with Mr. Nagashima. He was doing a big special project in 2000. So we really wanted to do something special. And then Mr. Oh said, no, Mr. Nagashima knows everything, you know, not only baseball, education, and all other area, but we know only baseball. We are both home run king, but we know only baseball. So, but we like to do something similar to help young children. And what can we do? That was our lunchtime conversation when we started. Then I said, well, I am a special educational programmer, so I can make up some program for both Mr. Oh and Hank leading as a spokesperson for our project. And if we can involve with all worldwide children who never experienced baseball or who are very specially involved with baseball like America or Japan, so that might be perfect, you know, two home run king starting for helping, you know, baseball to spread and develop baseball in Europe and Africa or any other countries. So they said, well, Akiko, you make a program and we'll be both spokespersons and we'll support. That's how we started 26 years ago. And that time we are not creating a non-profit organization, so we have to make as a special corporation. And originally, we started in Los Angeles because I went to UCLA and I know that area. And LA Dodgers, you know, Mr. Peter O'Malley was behind us to support. And UCLA, Jackie Robinson's, you know, baseball, you know, stadium. We first year we started to use that. And then once we developed, you know, Mr. Peter O'Malley and Mr. Aaron and Willie Mays, Annie Banks, and many others, or Joe DiMaggio too. All people wanted to do something to do for children. So We didn't know it's going to be such a big program, but we don't have so much money either. But we had a big dream and the right one for working for children. So we decided not only in Japanese kids, worldwide kids, not only for baseball country. So we invited the first plan was like 30 countries. Each country sent 5 kids and chaperone. And we will invite all Hall of Fame baseball player to show some demonstration game for children. But we really develop baseball for the right baseball, not like for other program. It's always, you know, tournament, and always successful one is going to become, you know, a hero like Little League. They are always tournament. But this one, we don't have any hero. Everybody should be a winner, and we have to study from the bottom, but run right baseball program. So we, at that time, you know, International Baseball Association was in Indianapolis in USA, and I met his president, and Dr. Smith.
Yes.
And he is also a professor at the university, and he really understand our goal. So he decided to support us and help us, so all the program how to develop together with IBA group, so all over in people. So we started like the beginning starting program with IBA executives and Mr. O, Mr. Aaron. We started to have a special gathering in Los Angeles at the Riviera Country Club. And we also did golf and just starting to get to know what we can do. And we also did a press conference in New York and Central Park. And we met, you know, MLB commissioner. And that time was Faye Vincent, commissioner. And then we all started the bottom work. And then we started the first year in Los Angeles at UCLA, Jackie Robinson Stadium, inviting 300 kids all over the world, and also all Hall of Fame, you know, the players, and also international players, all professional people. So we did a demonstration game, American team against international team. So it was a very wonderful start, and ESPN sponsored, and they showed, because this is the first kind of special thing with children and Major League Baseball. So it was a really grand opening, and we really had a wonderful time the first year. But we really didn't know how big this program would be, and we need lots of money. And that time, I think we spent more than $2 million that time.
Wow.
And we didn't have enough money. So actually, the first year was the red. And Mr. O helped from personally supported the first year. And I supported for USA, you know, for the negative portion. So we wanted to continue. So personally, we supported. And then after that, we started to look for all the sponsors. That's the beginning of WCBF.
Yeah, and you know, it's a great event. It's amazing that you've been able to keep the event going for all these years, 26 years now. But what's great is you pick kids from all over the world. They come to Japan at this time in Toyama. They are able to live together. You give them cultural experience. We give them instructional baseball experience at a camp. There's really not anything like this. It was your idea when this came up. What's the difference you've seen from year to year when you've held this event with the kids, you know, the experience that they're getting when they go back home?
Well, right now we have over 5,344 people up to this year attended.
Wow.
For this event. But always, I'm very grateful for WCBF organization became a non-profit, and that everybody respected my original program. So our theme was Catch Your Dream.
Yeah.
And worldwide. And everything was same, but we had sometimes, you know, budget problem, so we have to reduce countries and the participants, and also especially, you know, for professional baseball player to invite to make a game, we needed to additional, you know, big money, so we cut that area. So it's not like Major League Baseball's, you know, interest, but and also not so attractive for major, like, TV station for uh-huh. program, because we don't have any special players, except Mr. O and Mr. Aaron. But after 5 years, we kept the same way, you know, 5 years. After 5 years, we switched from professional baseball players and from kids who already knows baseball, make a special tournament, like Japan, Taiwan, Korea, Chinese, or all those people who can play, they are doing some baseball, you know, tournament.
Yeah.
So all together, we have like over 300 kids attending. And so number was same, but we have two new development, and that area is very good for young Japanese kids, not only in Japan, and Asian kids, really promoted for special experience. And they really, I think, get lots of benefit they are getting too. So that's a new area. But program now, you know, so many volunteers helping, and Mr. O really work hard to continuing to get sponsorship. So I think, you know, if we say, you know, how we can continue 26 years, that's really Mr. O's really special passion and love for baseball and children, and making children to become really happy, and lots of good vision they are getting from this basic, you know, simple program. Just all worldwide, we are the one, we are having, you know, a good time, not only baseball, but through baseball, we learn team sportsmanship as a team, and also we have a different language and different color of people, but we are all the same, and we respect each other and help each other and having fun together. And we make friends all over the world. So now over 5,000 people remember that special once-a-lifetime experience, and it keep going on. And this is only one program for last 26 years having this kind of program. So, you know, IBF, now WBSC, and also WBC, and also Japanese professional baseball, they all recognize our small effort, but long time, you know, big vision, they really support. And we are very grateful for everybody's understanding. And we are getting a little older, but our vision is the same, and we'd like to continue to at least, you know, we are heading for 30th anniversary. And most of the sponsors are coming from Japan, but we should develop more for international. And we are looking for international host, you know, site. We are looking for who can afford to help us. But now we don't spend $2 million anymore. We need cash of something like $1 million, and it's become half because we cut all the necessary area. But Mizuno and Desan and Kenko Board are regular sponsors for the equipment and the baseball gears, and they all stay with us. So we are really thankful to all the sponsors and all those professional, you know, baseball friends to supporting us. So we are very grateful.
Well, it's a great program, Dr. Agishi. I mean, it's spreading baseball around the world. I want to thank you for being on the show. I know this is going to go out all over the world to all our listeners. And, you know, we will continue to see how the World Children's Baseball Fair is doing. So, again, thank you very much for being on the show.
Can I say one more thing?
Absolutely.
One more thing. You know, we are most grateful for, used to be called IBF coach, now WBSC coach. They are 26 years. We have always 10 WBSC coaches are coming and giving excellent instruction for correct baseball. So whoever, you know, doesn't know the baseball from never did it, but also like we have Little League, you know, players are all joining together and working together. And after first day and to the end of, you know, 1 week, kids show big difference.
Yes.
And everybody feels so good and feel like everybody is a winner and having good time. Well, sometimes they cannot do well, but coaches are really, really supporting. So I should say this WBSC coaches are number one in the world.
Yeah. Yes, and you know what? I agree, because I've been here twice so far, and even, you know, this week I've seen these guys and gals have been great coaches, and they really do a great job, not just instructional, but they're so energetic. They have fun with the kids. the kids have a great experience. They make sure that the kids have a great experience. And I think that's something baseball needs all over the world, great coaching. So thank you, very special thank you to the World Baseball Softball Confederation for supporting the World Children's Baseball Fair with the coaching staffs. And after this, we will be back with some of the coaches from the World Children's Baseball Fair that worked in Toyama this week. And we're going to interview them and talk to them about the drills and some of the things they did with the kids. And we're going to continue our interviews of the great coaches that we have here from the World Baseball Softball Confederation. And right now with me is Narelle Gastre. She's from Australia. She's on the World Baseball Softball Confederation's International Women's Baseball Commission. She was one of the coaches and also had one of the stations. We've had a blast here. And I want to welcome Narelle first to the show, and then we're going to talk a little about what she did at every station and then the kids that she worked with and some more. Narelle, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Pete.
It's been a pleasure. And, you know, I personally, you know, one of the guys came up to me, you know, and I'll start with this only because it was real impressive. You know, supposedly you had read my book, which I didn't know if anybody was reading it. So I'm real happy that somebody's reading my book, first of all. And then also that you were able to, I guess, take some drills from the book and use it. And that makes me feel good because, you know, it's something that I've been doing for a long time. And I love doing just helping coaches if I can, and also learning from coaches while we're here. But tell us some of your drills, not the drills that I particularly had, but your drills that you used at the camp with the kids and how that affected them while, you know, you were working with them, how they did with some of the drills.
Sure. So my first station was bunting, and I break it down really quite far down to the basics of where to hold the bat and where the ball should hit the bat and where to hold the bat, the footwork. And I start very from the base and then work up to get the put all the skills together. So I'll spend, you know, a good 5 minutes or so getting the kids to be able to hold the bat properly and put it in the proper location. And then when I feel like they've got that nailed, then we move on to break up into groups of five with a coach at each station, throwing them a little bit of overhand toss, and then practicing just putting the bunt down. And then we'll move on to putting some cones out so we can get them to actually be bunting in the right direction. And then from there we end up playing a game where we reverse it, so that if you put a good bunt down, you don't have to run, but if you miss the bunt, whatever, you run up to first base, and we try to get some enthusiasm and interest going along there.
You know, that always works great with kids because it keeps their attention, right? Yeah. And instead of just bunting, they're having fun doing it, and that's a challenge. What was the hardest thing for the kids when it comes to bunting? Because, you know, everybody thinks that bunting is an easy skill, and it's actually pretty hard. And what was tough for some of the kids that you had?
It's probably two areas, and both of them are related. The Japanese tend to teach the grip a little bit differently than I do, and I explain to the kids at the start is that there are many different ways that you can do bunting, and many people will teach you different ways, and this is the way I like to teach. So for the Japanese kids, it's a little bit of a different style. And then just generally for the kids, a lot of them like to wrap their hand around the barrel. And you know, it's very unsafe with the possibility that the ball can hit their hand if they've got their hand wrapped right around the middle of the barrel. So I always tell them to give me a thumbs up and then put the baseball bat on the platform that the thumbs up creates. And that's a lot safer.
And that was easy for the kids, so they don't have to think of that anymore?
Yeah. So, you know, really emphasize, come on, kids, thumbs up, you know. And everyone gives me the thumbs up, and once we've got that, we put the bat on, and they're off, yeah.
One of the challenges, it seems, in bunting sometimes seems to be, you know, the angle of the bat and also giving, you know, with the ball. How much do you give with the ball? Tell us a little bit about that with the kids, how you were able to work with them.
I keep it pretty simple, but I talk to them about starting the bat at the top of the zone and then bending their knees to get down to the bottom zone, so up and down. And it's kind of fun because I work out whichever country I've got, I work out what the word for top is with that country and bottom. And so, like, Japan is ue for up and shita for bottom, so ue, shita, ue, shita.
Oh, yeah.
And then change it up depending on the country. But with the direction, I again, keep it simple, is that I tell them if the ball's pitched on the outside of the plate, try to put it down the first baseline, and if it's down the third baseline, inside of the plate, put it down the third baseline, and use the bat as a bit of a rudder.
What about when, you know, the ball was low? Do they struggle with that? And how do you teach them to bunt a pitch in the strike zone that's in the maybe lower part?
And that's where we did a lot of practice before we actually went live, is starting with that bat at the top of the zone and bending our knees to get down to the bottom. And I had the kids like repeating it, like, ue, shita, ue, shita, top, bottom, top, bottom, ue, shita, ue. And we did that, you know, 20 or 30 times before I actually even throw a ball to them.
So the body got used to it, and that's great. And now one of the things about bunting, you know, just like hitting, especially young kids, these kids are from 15 countries, so there's all kinds of different skill levels. There's that fear factor. I think we use some different type of baseballs. Does that help?
Yeah, I mean, the soft baseballs make it a lot easier, but I also had really good helpers, my assistant coaches at my station, that, you know, they just threw strike after strike after strike, so there was no fear for the kids because they knew the ball was over the plate. But I had, I was probably my most exciting moment was when one of the New Caledonian kids who was terrible in the practice, in the technique, took him a lot to learn how to not hit it. He was trying to hit the ball, you know, really nice push bunts or slap bunts, but not what we were looking for. But then he got into the game straight up after we did bunting, and he laid a bunt down. It was a perfect bunt, and that was, you know, it was just brilliant to see. That's what you're there for.
And bunting was the majority of the stations that you had.
I had bunting for the first half, and the second half of the week was rundown plays.
Yeah. Oh, so you had rundowns also. So tell us a little bit about a couple more questions on rundowns. Tell us about how you started the rundowns, because that, again, another skill in baseball that's not very easy, especially with kids that don't know each other. Now you have to teach them rundowns. Tell us how you started that.
Okay, well, absolutely. I was using the drills from your book, where we start it, and we start the kids having the 90-degree angle, holding the ball up, being able to see the ball so it's in front of their eyes, and I just get them to run for maybe 20 meters with the ball up, and then they stop. And there's, you know, very, very simple, sure. get that ball up. So we do that a couple of times, and then I break them into two halves, and I get them just to start throwing back and forwards. I set some cones out, so they have to run to a certain point, and when they hit that cone, that's when they throw it. And that's trying to teach them that, you know, make sure you don't throw the ball, like, when you're on the base. Yeah. You got to be that, you know, couple of meters back from the base. So from there, it gets a little bit chaotic because we then introduce the chasing and the running down of the players. So, again, we have the runner runs up to the person with the ball runs up to the other kid, throws him the ball, and then he becomes the runner, and the one that receives the ball chases him down. And they start having a lot of fun with that because their competitive spirit gets up and they're really enjoying just chasing down that other player.
You know what's amazing is I think all the years you've been coaching and the you see young kids, I think we tend to think they can only do one thing at a time, but you've taken, you know, kids from all over the world here and you put them together and done rundowns. Kids can pick up things pretty fast. You know, it's not like we have to teach them one thing at a time all the time, and I think you were able to prove that here in the rundowns.
Absolutely, and when we got into the actual onto the field and we're doing the rundown plays, obviously we had eight groups go through, and the ones that did it the best were where we kind of left them just to try it themselves. Where a couple of times I had some of the chaperones that wanted to keep explaining how to do it and show it, and I was the ones that got it really quickly were the ones that we just said just go do it, and a few of the kids knew already how to do them well, and the other kids learnt from those. But when we tried to interfere too much, they didn't do so good.
Now some kids are taught by other coaches back home, so they're taught differently. Now obviously, you know, kids need to learn something when different coaches tell them different things. How did you deal with that? Did you explain to the kids that you're going to learn one way, but there may be others?
Absolutely, I always do that because, as you know, Pete, in baseball there are a million ways to do just about everything. So I always say to the kids, this is the way I teach it. You may have been taught different ways, but I want you to try this because it's important that you know how to do it each of the different ways, because A, you might find out that it's better for you, or B, you might come across another coach that wants you to do it like that and you already know how to do it.
That's great. Okay, last question is going to be, you know, tell us about the World Children's Baseball Fair, because you worked the event before, and is this a better experience? Or tell us just about your experience and why you'd recommend it for other coaches around the world.
Oh, sure. So last year was my first year as a coach, and I was a little bit nervous because you didn't know what to expect, but I had a really great group of coaches around me who were really experienced and had been here before, and they really helped me out. And then this year, coming back, I was a little bit more, a lot more confident, I have to say, in what was going to happen and just that comfort level. And I think it meant that my experience with the kids was so much better because I was less worried about what I was doing and more focused on what they were doing. And I got a lot more out of it, and I think the kids got a lot more out of it because I was so much more confident with them, and I had a ball, and it was just really good to really connect with the kids and see them improve over the week.
That's great, and we appreciate your time, Narelle. Good seeing you. I know you're going on to Korea. The Australian team will be there, the Women's Baseball Australian National Team will be there. You're going to be there with them for a week, and then you will also be on the technical committee for the event. I want to wish you the best of luck in your travels and a great event, and thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Pete. Really great to have me here. Thank you. Appreciate
awesome. And we will be back from Toyama, Japan at the World Children's Baseball Fair. We're actually on our way to the airport with the coaching staff, where everybody will be taking off for their cities all over the world. And we will be back with another great coach the World Children's Baseball Fair, and also the coaching staff of the World Baseball Softball Confederation. Welcome back to Baseball Outside the Box. We continue our interviews from Toyama, Japan at the World Children's Baseball Fair. We are actually at the airport. Most of the coaches are leaving today, and we have the pleasure of interviewing some of the top coaches around the world from the World Baseball Softball Confederation who are working the event. And with me right now is Jerry LeBlanc. Jerry's from Moncton, Canada. He's in the he handles the Atlantic region for Baseball Canada. He's on their National Coaches Certification Program Committee. If you know anything about Baseball Canada and their certification program, it's one of the best in the world. I've had the pleasure to learn from it so much. So we're going to talk to Jerry a little bit about his experience here with the WCBF, but also some of the drills he was doing at the station. So first, Jerry, welcome to the show. We appreciate taking the time and being on the show with us.
Great. It's be great to be on this show. Thanks, B.
Obviously we have a lot of good friends like Jim Baba and with Baseball Canada, the Ray Carter, who just retired as Baseball Canada president. I've got a great admiration for the certification program Canada. We're going to talk about that. But before we do, let's actually start off a different way. Let's start off with this is your first time with the WCBF. And give us your experience, your whole experience that you had, the whole week here.
Pete, I would say it was excellent. Didn't know what to expect as a first-time coach. You arrive here anxious, excited, but once you're here and you with all these top coaches, it's amazing how you learn them on just between ourselves, just talking baseball, and spend a whole week, and even with the kids, different kids from different countries. It was top notch, and I really liked it.
Here's the thing: you got selected for this by your governing body in the country of Canada, Baseball Canada. Tell us how that happened, because I think that's a special honor, because this is a prestigious event, not only event, but it's a level of great coaches that we have here, and you're able to be part of that staff.
Well, this is, international type of, I'm just saying competition, but activities, and I've never been involved at that level, but to have the honor to be selected out of all the coaches that are in Canada, I'm honored, first thing. And secondly, we do a lot of work in Canada in developing kids, and more so putting a lot of emphasis on the coaches, as they're the ones that are actually going out there in the grind and the fields. And so that's why, for me, for Baseball Canada, Jim Babin people to select me to go, actually was just elated that they did that.
Well, it's a perfect fit because you're on a national committee for coaches certification in Canada, so you in the Atlantic region
train coaches, and you guys have an outstanding training program. Give us a brief overlook of that and how that works in your region and why it's so important, because other countries ought to be following what Baseball Canada is doing when it comes to coaches certification.
Well, what we've done is we've actually kind of broken down our program for grassroots coaches, so that when they're out there, there's certain things that they should be teaching the kids. And then because of our long-term athlete development program, we catered our clinics or our material to different age levels, so that your grassroots coach knows what he has to teach in the drills and skills that they should be developing, moving on to then competition, kids that are in competitive ball, and then of course the next step to high performance. So by doing that, when we do in our certification process, coaches are gradually graduating from one part of the program and moving up. And that was our main purpose under the NCCP. Let's get our grassroots set up, and they're the guys that are going to be moving up the system, either because they have their own kids or they like coaching baseball, but at least we're gradually, you know, moving them up and improving their coaching skills, so that when they do get to the older age groups, they're prepared to teach them the skills of the game.
You know, Baseball Canada in general has a tremendous amount of players playing college baseball. They have a tremendous amount of players minor league baseball, and obviously they got big league guys, not just big league guys, but all-star guys like, you know, Morneau and others that have played the game, Walker, who's a Hall of Famer. But tell us, the program, what have you seen the results of your coaching program starting with the grassroots level? What's been the results other than what I just mentioned, college and all that? What else have you seen? Why should a country look at this program and kind of, you know, tailor it to their needs?
Well, there's more kids playing, which means we are doing something. We're doing material. So when the kids are registering for baseball, I don't want to compare it to other sports like soccer or whatever. At least when they're coming, they're doing stuff, they're doing drills, and kids are having fun at the same time and developing at the same time. So to me, that is why, and as they move up, they're learning new skills, a new way of playing the game, and coaches are providing material in order to do that. So, and with today's technology, Pete, I mean, we got videos on YouTube and stuff and whatever. It's great when coaches do access those and books and whatever, but when they know that Baseball Canada has their own material that they can turn to, it certainly helps them to develop and get the kids to be at that level where, you know, when you get to Joel Votto and I still remember when I had Matt Stairs back in his younger days, you know, as a high school kid, you know, back then the program wasn't as developed as it is today. But Matt, with his natural skills, was able to move up and be a professional ball player. Today, that luxury of the kids is greater because of the material that we have.
And here's the thing. You hold coaches accountable. Most of your coaches, from what I understand, are volunteers. But yet, you still hold them accountable, which is important because, you know, like you said, you got to make sure they're doing the right things. So these kids stay in the game longer, they're enjoying the game. So accountability has got to be big for Baseball Canada.
Oh, definitely. And at the same time, we certainly don't want to turn some coaches off either. Parents, what do you mean I have to go to a clinic to learn how to, you know, throw and hit whatever? Look, we're not looking for you to continue to move up the system. But if you're going to follow the kids up, this is a good means of teaching you the game of baseball, and for you to teach kids how to play the game of baseball. That's what we're doing at these clinics under the NCCP. Here's how we're going to teach you how to teach the kids. And that's a big part.
That's huge. That's super. And all right, let's get into the WCBF now, the World Children's Baseball Fair that's been around for 26 years. Your first experience, you had a station. Tell us about what you did at the station and then how you taught certain things at the station.
Well, as you know, Pete, the amount of time we had to work with, I had pitching and catching. One station was pitching and the other station was catching. So trying to get a lot into pitching in 25 minutes was kind of tough. So you almost, and then you had 20, I think my first group was 20 kids. So, but, you know, you wanted them to go, and I always call that the five steps. I wanted to make sure that they were able to understand that there is a stance that you have to have, and what are the indicators, what are the things you do to remind yourself what stance is supposed to look like, and then the balance point, then the break hands, and then the stride, and then the follow through. Yeah. So making them go through that step-by-step process together as a group and then having a little game at the end with the kids and then applying what they learned. That was kind of the approach I had with the pitching.
That's pretty cool. And it can't be easy because, like you said, only 25 minutes. And we only had them, you only had them twice, I think.
That's right.
And you had 20 players, but also from other countries. So you had to communicate with them. Some skill levels were different. How do you handle the different skill levels? Because, you know, we got coaches all over the world. Their players aren't all the same skill level. They may have 12-year-olds, but they got some 12-year-olds are bigger, some are smaller, some are quicker, some are slower. How did you handle that within that age group?
Well, you almost had to look at when you were showing, see who was catching on quickly and who was not, sort of thing. So I was kind of, when I was showing them, the stance was a good starting point because they had to look at what I was doing. I guess the biggest challenge was the translators. My first group had two translators, yeah. And it was kind of tough to talk and then be able to. So I spent a lot of energy on motions,
yeah.
Look at me, and then slowed my talking down a bit, but watched what the kids were doing, see if they were following. If not, I would break out to that specific player or group and then maybe spend time fixing them so that they're in the same level as the other. But you're right. The level was different. All it was.
But what's interesting is, and I'm sure, you know, maybe it's even better because sometimes we talk too much as coaches. And I'm sure in your coaching programs you guys talk about this, where kids can be visual. And, you know, with these kids speaking different languages, if they can visualize or see you doing it correctly, the brain's going to pick that up. So I would think that would, there's a benefit there.
Yeah. Well, Pete, I tell you, I'm the other issue I'm conscious of when I do my clinics is I'm a left-handed thrower. Oh, yeah. So I have two gloves. So yeah. I have to shift one hand to the other to make sure that the right-handers, and the first thing I ask, is there any left-handers here? If there's none, then I get my right, and then I'm going to be the righty during my presentation.
Yeah.
But if there's both, I have to shift back and forth. So sometimes it can confuse kids, eh? And yeah. So you have to be very careful, you know, how you do that sort of thing. Yeah, the visual, and they want to hear also, but at the same time, you want to be able to show some energy here while you're doing it so that they're into it sort of thing.
You know, that's a key point you said there, energy. You know, a lot of coaches come into a practice, you know, they don't really have the energy, and all of a sudden that's how the team and the practice kind of flows. Give us an idea what you tell your coaches about that.
Well, I tell them that they're going to mirror you, okay? And I always make it a point when I have my own squads or my own clinics, I meet each kid one by one and shake their hands when they arrive and talk to them one by one so that they can get into the practice and knowing, hey, coaches, talk to me and whatever. Some coaches, I tell them, they arrive, I know you know them all and such, but at the same time, you've got to show the energy. If you want them to be intense, you yourself have to give that energy out when they arrive, and it starts right there sort of thing.
Now, you also had another station, I believe, a second one. What were you working on in that station? Tell us about that. I know you had catchers, but yeah. I think you also had another station with something else. But tell us anything else
catching.
You did.
I had catching. Yep, catchers. And I had the luxury to have one of those the Japanese players.
Oh, the professionals.
The professionals, and he was a catcher. So that was great. So I was able to break off in the station. So, again, 25 minutes, I had to work on how to receive, the prep stance, receive, how to block, and also how to throw to second base. So I broke off in three stations.
So you took basically the most important things, throwing, blocking, catching the ball.
Yeah.
Tell us about receiving a little bit. What would you teach the young kids on how to receive a baseball as a catcher?
Yeah, well, I'm more of a, and we, even in our own material that we have in Canada, we're teaching more on the bent elbow because a lot of kids extend the hand out in catching the ball, which means that they're dropping the mitt or they can't seem to be able to really frame that ball well. So even at 10, 11 years old, teaching them how to have that bent elbow, let that ball come in the mitt and bring it in, that is what more I spent. And the other part was, what do you do with the other hand? I'm teaching kids, and we're doing in our clinics, is that catching is a one-handed thing. It's not a two-handed thing. Mm. So where they position the other hand while they're receiving is very important to protect themselves. And, of course, the positioning, making sure that they're down low and keeping that mitt load right between the knees. I even had one of the players stand up, and I'm saying, I asked the kids, if you were going to pitch to this guy, and I put the mitt up at the belt, and I said, is he going to hit the ball? And they all nodded, and I said, okay, let's see if we put it here where he's hit the ball. So the kids then recognize, hey, the mitt has to be down low here. So if we teach them early to do that, and they're in a better position to catch the ball.
Now, balance is an issue with young kids and all everything, hitting, fielding, throwing, especially catching. Now, young coaches or coaches that have, like myself, who haven't caught, you know, we can probably teach it. But if, I guess if you've caught, you can teach it a little easier. How do you teach a good stance to a youngster so that way you make sure he's balanced?
Well, you may laugh at this, but in my younger days, we used to have a game called Leapfrog. Now, I didn't use it today, but I have the kids back home. They do leapfrog. Mm. You know, they play. So in order, they jump one over the other, and they be in a position. Yeah. So they're learning how to stay bent, sort of thing. And then at the same time, their knees getting stronger as they're doing that. So it's a little way of teaching them, okay, now stay in the position that you're in. And then, all right, lean a little bit forward here. And I'd be facing them and then pushing on the shoulders to make sure that they stay forward and they don't fall back. And if they start falling back, then they know that, hey, I'm not in a balanced position here. So those are the two things that, but 25 minutes, I didn't get a chance to do that.
No, that's understandable. Yeah. But you know, for our coaches around the world, that's interesting because, you know, we're so technical sometimes, you know, move this foot, do this. Yeah. You're putting them in a more athletic position. When they do the leapfrog, that's kind of an athletic position, not only developing strength and flexibility by doing it, which is probably a warm-up too, but you're putting them in their position they're going to catch in. Yeah. So I think that's really good. How about let's go with the throwing part. We got the receiving a little bit. No, let's talk about the blocking.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's a tough thing for young kids. Give us an idea how you, in that short a period, because, again, coaches around the world don't have a lot of time either, practice-wise. A couple things that can help coaches work with young kids on blocking.
Well, basically, I guess what they have to teach the kids is I put a lot of emphasis on the fact that they have to learn when do they drop to block the ball. And a lot of times, kids are too late in dropping to block the ball. So I always tell the coaches, put them in that blocking position right away so that they know what it feels like to be in that creek, that wall, and not catch the ball. So a lot of time, that clinic that we had, we got them in that position right off the bat and then threw balls at them. Then we say, okay, now let's get back into that catcher's position. Let's see you drop to your knees and maintain that wall that you're creating there. And so it was sort of like we did a reverse. We started with them on already in that blocking position, and then afterwards we put them in that stance and then block.
Yeah.
So it was sort of like a reverse approach. And the kids caught on very quickly, you know, and so it was good. It was good.
Perfect. And let's talk about the throwing part, the most difficult thing, because they got to catch it. Now they got to throw down to second base, and that's another tough skill. But that's why catchers are valuable, you know, to all organizations, because it's not an easy skill. What'd you do throwing-wise to teach the catchers?
Basically, I think what I wanted to do is I make sure that throwing hand is ready for that mitt that's coming up at the ear in order to throw. A lot of times what's happening is that they're getting their hand out to get the ball while they're receiving it and bringing the hand back. And I'm saying bring the mitt to your throwing hand, flip the mitt, and then throw it while you're making that step forward. And I think that was more the feet work, that we work more in the throwing, because once the feet are right, the throwing will be all right. So I got a lot of emphasis on when we did that drill is get that mitt up to your ear and that other hand will be there in order to pick up the ball out of the mitt and throw it down second base. And there was some really good throws for 10, 11-year-olds.
And transferring the ball is not easy and gripping it. So what about that approach? Any specific things there?
Well, basically, I couldn't do it because of time, but I always do my drills bare hands, so they're receiving bare hands, so they'll be able to transfer from the mitt onto to the hand and then come and freeze, you know, when the ball is right around the ear to snap down to second base. A lot of times you're going to see some kids, you know, kind of throw like an outfielder, draw the ball down to the ground and up towards the top without realizing it takes too much time. So they need to learn how to be able to cock that arm in order to throw it, you know. But it was... Like I said, the amount of time it was kind of difficult, but the kids caught on. They caught on quick, you know.
That's great. I'll tell you what, first of all, I want to thank you. We're with Jerry LeBlanc from Baseball Canada. He's on a national committee for the National Coaches Certification Program for Baseball Canada. He's one of the coaches at the World Children's Baseball Fair. Been here a week. It's his first experience, but it's not his first coaching experience because he's been coaching a long time. And he's obviously a very integral part of Baseball Canada's Coaches Certification Program, training coaches the right way so that way we can develop players and keep players in the game longer. So, Jerry, I just want to thank you for being part of the program, and I look forward to staying in touch with you.
Great. Thank you very much, Peter.
All right, we will be right back with another instructor from the World Children's Baseball Fair, an instructor from the World Baseball Softball Confederation, and we'll be back in a minute. We're back with Baseball Outside the Box, and we are on the way to Narita Airport, where everybody, even some of the kids from the World Children's Baseball Fair, will be flying out. And currently I'm sitting next to Khalif Karnova from Indonesia. He's one of the young 12-year-olds who participated, actually a group of kids from Indonesia participated in the World Classic, World Children's Baseball Fair. So it's going to be an honor to ask him a few questions of what he thought about the fair, and I believe this might have been his first time here, but we'll ask him and find out. So, Khalif, tell me, how you doing today?
Good.
Yeah, everything going well during the World Children's Baseball Fair?
Yes, very well.
And tell me, I know you have a lot of your friends here. Is this your first time here at the fair?
Yes.
All right, tell me a little bit about what you thought about the fair. First of all, the cultural part, you saw a lot of Taiyoma, Japan. Tell me what you thought.
It's a good thing because we can exchange our cultural things in through around the world.
And now, you haven't been to the fair before?
No.
So it's your first time?
No, baseball fair.
Yes.
Oh, I've been like 6 times through baseball fair in Korea, Singapore, Vietnam, and Indonesia in a couple times.
And tell me, you play in a team in Indonesia. What age group is that team?
The U-12.
U-12. All right, so your first experience here, you did the baseball fair with the coaches, you know, where you rotate the stations. Tell me what kind of experience you had with the coaches?
Funny experience because the coaches are funny and always happy.
Okay, and let me ask you this. What do you look for in a coach when, like back home, your most favorite coach, why is he your most favorite coach?
Because he's funny and he's always helped me. He and she always help me.
And do you want to hear the truth from the coaches, or do you want them to just be positive all the time, even if it's not correct?
Truth.
And why the truth?
Because I want to know what's my wrong, what's my differences, what's my mistake.
And so that'll help you learn more if you can learn from the different things. Didn't they film a movie in Indonesia or baseball movie? Did they ever film a movie there?
Not yet.
No? How about Major League Baseball? Have you seen Major League Baseball games?
Yes.
Tell me what your experience has been. Is that something you want to do one day maybe?
Yes.
And how are you going to get there?
I train hard. And get a lot of experience and just do it.
Tell me about the fair, the World Children's Baseball Fair. You, when you're rotating the stations, what was your favorite station and why?
With Papi and Coach Gossi.
But why? Those are maybe, you know, people that you like, coaches you like. But what was at the actual station? What did you like about it?
How we practice is very funny and a lot of different with Indonesia, because in Indonesia, if we jog, it's like an hour, but here just one lap.
Oh, in Indonesia, you have to run 1 hour?
Yes.
Is that before practice?
Yes.
Now, what's the reason for that? Just to get in good shape?
To get a lot of endurance.
A lot of what?
Endurance.
Endurance. A lot of energy. That's great. And during the World Children's Baseball Fair, what were some of your favorite people that you met, like from the other teams?
The coaches. Abdul from Africa.
Oh, yeah.
The host staff of Japan 12. His name is Muslat Faiz Wildan. He's also an Indonesian. And from Japan is Joe, Taishi, Taisei, and Kosuke.
All right, so during the camp, tell me what you learned. Anything that you learned baseball-wise that you did not know prior to that, anything you could think of, from hitting to throwing to whatever it was.
Before, I always such a selfish with when I'm pitching, I always think selfish, but now it's not again. And when I'm in the batter box, I like scared with the ball, but now not.
Now you're not scared. How come?
What?
You said now you're not scared of the ball. Why are you not scared of the ball anymore? Was it something they did at the station that helped you?
Yes.
Explain to us what that was.
They teach us how to block properly that the ball will not hurt us, and then how to get hit by the ball when I'm in the batter box.
Oh yeah, so they taught you, that was great. They taught you how to get away, how to turn away from the pitch, so that way if you get hit, you're going to hit in the back, not get hit in the chest where it's more dangerous. That's great. Well, Khalif, I want to thank you very much. That was Khalif Karnova from Indonesia, one of the 12-year-olds who participated in the World Children's Baseball Fair. Had a great time. After this, we will be back with one of the coaches from the World Children's Baseball Fair, and we look forward to continuing our show here from Toyama, Japan, again at the World Children's Baseball Fair. Well, folks, that's the end of the show, and we want to thank all our guests with the World Children's Baseball Fair, all our instructors, starting with the legendary Sadahara Home, the home run champion of the world. Special thank you to Mr. O, and also my great friend Angel Bonilla, who's been the lead instructor at the World Children's Baseball Fair for over 25 years. What a great, great accomplishment for Angel, and thanks for being on the show, along with my friends from other parts of the world and key instructors at the World Children's Baseball Fair. Enjoyed really working with them. One is Narelle Gastre from Australia and Jerry LeBlanc from Canada. Thanks, guys. And a special thank you to the World Baseball Softball Confederation, the governing body of the sport worldwide, who allowed all our instructors, you guys are the ones that sent us to Toyama, Japan, to work with the World Children's Baseball Fair. So a special thanks there. And folks, if you enjoyed the show, don't forget, go to our website, baseballoutsidethebox.com, and go to the Stitcher iTunes logo, click that on, join the show. And also, if you get a chance, give us a 5-star rating if you really enjoyed it. That really helps keep the show going and also gets the word out. Don't forget, get out and check our social media and spread that out to as many people as you can, because we're giving out a lot of great information about baseball instruction and details about development. So check us out on Twitter at Baseball Out. And also, like I said, baseballoutsidethebox.com, our website, Facebook. And if you go to our website, don't forget my videos for coaches. There's 5 of them. The set has over 100 drills, games, and skills that you can organize your practices with. They are outstanding. Sell them all over the world. Hope you'll buy a set for Christmas for a special friend or guest or family member. So again, thanks for joining the show. And remember, coaches education is the key to building the foundation of our sport. So keep getting smarter by, one, listening to the show that interviews baseball's best coaching minds with innovative thoughts that like to challenge the status quo. I am your host, wishing you all Great season, great off season, depending where you're at. Have a great coaching day, and we will see you on the next show.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.